First Name Sports starts now.
We're kind of on a first name basis around here.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Okay, let's get started.
Live from Radio Row in Arizona, ahead of the big game, here's Greg Frank and Howard Balzer.
On we roll, halfway home on a Tuesday afternoon from the Phoenix Convention Center. 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Mountain, 2 p.m. Pacific. Howard, you live in Arizona. Do you guys, I know the whole country, you guys were ahead of everybody, getting rid of daylight savings pretty soon here nationwide. But do you guys even say Mountain or Pacific? It's, you know, just Arizona time, right?
That's what I do. Because in a website that I worked for prior to where I am now, I was writing and I had two or three guys writing under, you know, under me. And then they would say, if they talked about a game time or whatever, they'd say, you know, 2 o'clock, you know, Mountain Time or 1 o'clock Pacific or whatever. And I said, well, that's not, you know, it's always considered Mountain Time, but it's not always actual Mountain Time.
Yeah.
And so I would just tell them, like, no, just write Arizona Time, whatever it happens to be at that point. Because, yeah, like you said, we don't, it took me a while to get accustomed.
You've lived here how long now?
To that, about 2.5 years.
Okay.
And so, yeah, I mean, right now we're actual Mountain Time.
Right.
But I think it's March 12th, something
when
like that.
When we spring
that,
forward, that then weekend, you guys will be Pacific
then we'll be Pacific time until November, right, when it flips back. So, yeah, it can be confusing, but after being here a while, you get used to it.
Yeah.
But still, I still make mistakes at times when I'll get a request for a radio interview in a different part of the country, and I always have to make sure, do you know what time? They'll say, well, this is the time in Arizona. I say, well, you sure you know what time it is in Arizona right now? Just tell me what time it is where you are.
And I'll figure it out.
And then I'll figure it out.
Right.
And there have been times, though, where I messed it up.
Right.
Because it gets – and I'm always double-checking to make sure that I have it right, because it's pretty crazy. I remember when we moved here, and my wife's a sports fan, grew up in Chicago, in the Illinois, you know, Chicago area, and I said, you know –
Bears fan?
Bears fan, Cubs,
yep,
the whole bit.
Yeah.
I said, you're not going to like this during the football season, especially the beginning, because when the Bears play that first game of the window on Sunday, that'll start at 10 a.m. here.
Yeah.
Because let's just say she is not an early riser.
Not a morning person. Okay.
And so she said, no, you're kidding me. So I said, nope, 10 a.m. Now in November, after November, it'll change to 11. Right. But it's 10 for the first part of the season. So she's had to get a little bit accustomed to that. But the one thing that's awesome about it are the night games. In the
sure.
NFL, because they
start
always
at 5 o'clock.
Yeah, first part of the year it's 5:15. Second part it's 6:15, and it's over by 8:30 or 9:30. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
All right. We're again sprinkling in some league headlines as well as we move along here on a Tuesday afternoon. And another thing we got today is that Howard, again, a name that you're familiar with here in Arizona, returning to the NFC West, Steve Wilks has been hired in San Francisco to replace D'Amico Ryans as the DC. Hard to say it's an upgrade given how good D'Amico Ryans was, but certainly not a downgrade.
No, yeah, well, exactly. And you hope for their sake, it's not a downgrade, because certainly the players obviously make it happen.
Right.
But the one thing about Wilks is he's been a quality defensive coach wherever he's been. And it was interesting because I'm trying to remember, it couldn't be earlier in the week because we're still only the second day of the week.
Yeah.
But the end of last week, it was being texted out that Vance Joseph, the Cardinals defensive coordinator, might be a candidate in San Francisco. And I said, well, he's a 3-4 guy, right? And the 49ers play a 4-3. And so some people pushed back on me and said, well, no, a coach can adjust and all this. Well, when you're used to doing things a certain way,
right,
it can be tough. Well, Steve Wilks is a 4-3 guy. And that's what the 49ers are. And that's what Shanahan was looking to get in there in terms of having continuity with the defense. And so that should end up being a pretty good move for them with the quality talent they have on that side of the ball. And probably Thursday night, Nick Bosa, I say probably, you never know, but he's probably going to end up being Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah.
So that's a hell of a defense. Nick Bosa.
Think so?
Yeah.
Please to welcome in. Go ahead. Throw your headsets on now.
You can debate me if you want.
Go ahead. You want to talk to football?
I love hearing everybody's opinions. It's definitely.
Randy Grimes and Scott Stevens. Excuse me.
Now some people thought thought it should be Micah Parsons. Mm-hmm. Some thought Chris Jones from the Chiefs. They're all they're hell of a players.
Yeah.
But Bosa had 18 and a half sacks.
Yeah.
And was was the mainstay and the foundation, I think, of that defense.
He's good.
I wouldn't disagree with you.
Randy, well, you're here.
I think there's three or four guys, though, that are right there on equal playing. And it's going to be tough, you know.
Randy, you're here as the founder of Athletes in Recovery. And,
Pro Athletes in Recovery, yeah.
Thank you. And I know you're a former NFL center, Tampa Bay Buccaneer, and we saw you here last year. Mm-hmm. Before we get into the specifics of what you're doing with your organization, you're here seemingly every year, right? I mean, how many Radio Rows have you been?
This is 14. 14th consecutive, okay.
And I think, and I was saying to Greg earlier, it always seems to matter what show I'm doing down here, it always seems to work out that you come on the show I'm doing. Because I have to think we've, at 14, I have to think we've done at least 10 of them.
Or maybe all 14.
Maybe 14.
Yeah, you never know.
All 14 for all we know. I guess I should have kept the record.
This started in Miami. Remember when Radio Row was in Fort Lauderdale?
Yeah.
So that's where it started. I had just gotten sober. I was only, 6 months sober then, by then. And, no, less than that. But I was sitting in that convention or wherever we were in Fort Lauderdale with Conrad Dobler. And I was wondering, I was wondering if I had the courage to get out and tell the story that I'd just gone through rehab and everything that I'd been through. And sure enough, man, Dobler helped me, he gave me a little courage to get on there, and it's been ever since.
What a unique personality he is.
Oh, I know.
I was in St. Louis when he was playing there for the Cardinals.
Yeah, that was a great offensive line, too.
Yeah, it was a great line, and no one wanted to play against him because he would literally bite and claw and kick and
scratch, break stuff.
Yeah, do whatever was necessary. Couldn't get away with that today anymore, I don't think.
No.
That was a different NFL then.
Randy is the author of the book Off Center, and you've inspired, I think, a lot of people that are fighting addictions with painkillers, and I want to get Scott
or addiction to anything, substance abuse, right?
So I'm curious, Scott, how you two got hooked up. Scott, the founder of the Cody Stevens Foundation. So just tell us a little bit about your background and how you came to know Randy.
Randy actually asked me to be his assistant coach in Little League about 30 years ago, probably.
I fired him a couple of times, too.
Well, I did do some crazy things, but we had a good time. We went hunting and fishing together and just got to be great friends. And
country guys.
And I watched him go through his addiction, and I was there with him a lot of times on step for step. And, I wasn't equipped to know how to help him, but I loved him, and I loved his family, and I wanted the best for him. So we were great friends and have been forever. My son was a 6'9", 300-pound high school football player getting ready to go play college football, and he died one Sunday afternoon of sudden cardiac arrest. And obviously with losing Damar Hamlin, him going down, obviously he's not lost. He's great, doing great, but that raised the awareness, and Randy invited me out here to spread the news of what we're doing in Texas. Which is, we got a law passed in Texas. It took 7 years, but we got a law passed in Texas that when students get a physical, they can get an ECG. And those ECGs take our sports physicals from catching about 20% of heart abnormalities that can lead to sudden cardiac arrest up to about 86%.
Yeah.
And we can do those for $20. We can go to schools, pull the students out of class, and send them back with the knowledge that their heart is either healthy or not.
Yeah,
$20.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, and Randy, I know that you've been doing this for quite a while now, as we said, but I can't imagine for you ever get tired of it, or you want to always keep going, right, and keep spreading your message, right?
Yeah, I mean, the message has to be told every year. There's so many people that struggle with what I'm here about, which is substance abuse and mental health issues. There's so much stigma surrounding it, and I just want people to know that there's help and there's hope out there, but that it's okay to not be okay, but you got to raise your hand and ask for help.
Yeah.
I mean, addiction, mental health issues are the great equalizer. It brings us all to the same place, whether you're a former professional football player or a judge or anybody, it brings us all to the same place. And I just want people to know that there's help and hope, and I can't say that enough. I can't bring it to the forefront enough and let families know that there's people like me that you can call and ask the right questions and get the appropriate care for your loved one. Just can't say it enough.
Yeah.
How much is it complicated now, especially with the substance abuse? With now, a lot of times, whatever the substance is, you don't even know what's in it.
And
we know that with the fentanyl and all that. You always wonder, why is someone putting fentanyl in the stuff that they're trying to sell? Because that's not good. I mean, I mean, it's bad what they're doing anyway, selling it. But why would you want to put something in there that might kill the people you're selling to?
That's a separate story. And the hardcore addicts, they'll go find that dealer, the one that sold that stuff, because that's the good stuff. But
so how commonly is just dealing with that issue now? It's relatively new.
It's a leading cause. Overdose are the leading cause of death for people 18 to 45. I don't know if you knew that or not. Over car wrecks or anything else.
Yeah, wow.
Leading cause of death 18 to 45. And you're right. We've had a real problem out there. It's one and done. You know, you don't have a lot of people don't have the opportunity to recover because they're dying from fentanyl. And there's just so much awareness that we need. You know, we need to teach parents to have those uncomfortable conversations with their kids.
Sure.
You know, that a lot of times our parents don't want to have anything to do with that. You know, they're non-confrontational.
Right.
And there's just so much education that we need. I go into schools all the time and ask kids to raise their hand if they've been affected by addiction in any way, and every hand goes up.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy out there. And, you know, we just have so much work to do with this disease.
So it sounds like you want to get through to parents as much as you want.
Oh, yeah.
The adolescents.
That's where it starts, you know. And they're the ones that are going to make that initial call. They're the ones that are going to – they don't know what to say. They're the ones that need the most help and guidance. So, that's parents I'm talking to.
Randy Grimes, Scott Stevens, thank you both for stopping by, and best of luck with everything the rest of the week. Great job raising awareness to the causes.
Thank you very much for having us.
Good seeing you again.
We'll take a time out, and we'll come back as we roll on day two of our coverage of Radio Row from the Phoenix Convention Center, SportsNap Radio.
Is First Name Sports on the Sports Map Radio Network. Live from Radio Row in Arizona, ahead of the big game, here's Greg Frank and Howard Balzer.
As we roll on, as we got about 45 minutes left in our live coverage, day two, Phoenix Convention Center, Radio Row, and Howard, we kind of hit on it a little bit with Randy, but for as much as people like you have been coming here over and over again, I'm sure Randy, not the only routine guest that you see pop up around these parts every year.
Yeah, far from routine,
no
question. And it is crazy that with all the different outlets that I've done radio shows here for, whether it's Sports Map the last couple of years or local stations or whatever it might be, and at different hours.
Yeah, right.
It just always seems to fall
you that intersect.
He ends up on the show that I'm doing. And it's always good seeing him and always great hearing his message. And now they even have the extra thing with the ECG stuff, with the, you know, getting the tests and all that. And it's like Nick. I mean, I didn't even realize he was doing that. I know Nick personally. He lives here in Phoenix, and he does a tremendous amount of stuff with the homeless in Phoenix, and he's always doing, you know, holiday dinners and meals and things like that. And now all of a sudden I found, now he's involved in this. It's always like he's looking for things to give back with, and that's – you know, it's good to see.
I wanted to carry over something we were talking about before Randy came on, and that was, again, the hiring of Steve Wilks in San Francisco. And another point I wanted to make was I do feel like a hallmark of some of the longer-tenured coaches in the National Football League is they're able to hire well. And Kyle Shanahan now, you know, had D'Amico Ryans to promote when Robert Saleh left, and the – organization was attractive enough to an external candidate like Steve Wilks to where he wanted to join the fray.
Yeah, and it's also what they've established there with the 49ers is, you know, I always sometimes don't like using the word culture because I think it gets thrown around.
It's a little buzzy, right?
A whole lot. But they have developed, whatever you want to call it, a great system there, a great organization that they're good at drafting. It doesn't mean you always make the right decision. You know, who knows? They might be haunted for a long time for trading all those picks to be able to draft Trey Lance.
Yeah.
But they felt at the time that was the thing to do. And so, but so many of their picks have been the right ones. They spent a lot of high picks on defensive linemen.
Sure.
And that's been a foundation of that defense.
Yeah.
And then you add other guys like, you know, Fred Warner.
Yep.
And I mean, who ever heard of Talanoa Hufanga?
Hufanga
until this year.
Yeah, great
call. Who has played really great at safety. And so but they have that coaching, that way of doing things.
And you talk about trenches. I mean, Trent Williams.
And they traded for him when he was
one of the best tackles in football. And Mike McGlinchey, a guy they drafted, who now his future a little uncertain there, but we'll see what happens. And I think that, again, it's a strong infrastructure, and they haven't. They've been close. A couple of NFC Championship losses and a loss in the Super Bowl. But I just think the, as I say, the infrastructure is always going to be attractive to coaches that are either looking to move up or maybe failed as head coaches and realize that it's a stable environment for them to recover in.
Right. And, you know, we talked about it yesterday when we were talking about Andy Reid and how they wanted him out in Philly because he didn't win enough. And, you know, talk about those situations where losers in a conference championship game or a Super Bowl tend to be looked at negatively.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of franchises out there, and a lot of cities would give their right arm to just be in one conference championship game, much less, like you said, the 49ers in the last, what is it, four seasons, I guess, getting to one Super Bowl.
Three conference championships.
Yeah, three conference championships and then one Super Bowl.
Right.
So, I mean, that's – and here's the Chiefs, you know, in five consecutive
conference
championship games. So that's unusual.
Yeah, don't get used to that.
Well, they do. That's the thing. That's the thing fans do.
Yeah.
And they don't think about the other cities.
Right.
Where they're not even in shouting distance.
They get so used to it to where if you lose them, you become a failure.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That to me is insane.
Yeah, I agree with you. No, and so you mentioned Trey Lance, though, and that's been another story that has been kicked around already and will continue to be kicked around into March and the offseason is what will San Francisco move forward with at quarterback. Publicly, Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch have kind of displayed a level of content with their quarterback room, knowing that Jimmy Garoppolo is almost certain to leave in free agency, and knowing that there is an uncertain level with Brock Purdy and that elbow injury in terms of what he might be able to do or won't be able to do the rest of 2023. I go back to all eyes on Trey Lance again. Sooner or later, this guy's got to play, and he's got to look like the guy they traded up to go get.
Or at some point, they move on.
Yeah.
Because it's an interesting problem, quote, to have, and certainly a lot will be determined when Purdy has the surgery, which is said to be pretty close, and then you really know. A lot of times everyone has their estimates of what it'll be now, but you really don't know until the doctor gets in there and sees what was done and how, you know, was there something in there that the MRI maybe didn't show enough of or anything. But when Kyle Shanahan was talking about it last week, he was saying that all the information we have at now is that this is most likely a six-month injury. But after 3 months, he'll be able to start getting on a graduated throwing program and add little by little to it. And then by the time 6 months is up, which is essentially the start of training camp, he'll be fine to be able to throw at the start of camp.
Yeah.
And so as long as that is what they believe, I don't know that they'll do much else. You know, they might, I would think they could draft another young quarterback, perhaps. You know,
could they sign
fifth round
Keenum type of stabilizer, veteran type?
I don't know if they'll do that because Case Keenum is going to, I mean, he's going to want to go, so if he's still playing or whatever.
I'm just using him as a name.
I understand. But someone like that is going to at least want to know he's the number two guy, I would think. And
then do they look at another Brock Purdy type draft pick?
That's what I was saying.
Yeah, right.
I was saying when I said draft, I don't mean draft high.
The third day.
I'm thinking, third day draft. Yeah. And so that's something I would certainly see them doing because the thing, Greg, is they're so confident in their system of doing things. And I never want to say that the quarterback is, quote, a game manager or whatever it might be, but with the way they structure things with the running game, it almost seems whoever they plug in, the running game has success.
Oh,
right?
For sure.
And so
they happen to have Christian McCaffrey right now too.
Right. Well, and that's right. And then they've added to that. So you have the running game, you have running backs that can catch, you have the defense. And so your quarterback essentially, just be able to make the plays that you need to make.
Yeah.
And don't make those key mistakes that will lead you to lose games. And so that's essentially that's their plan. That's the way they do things. And so I don't think we'll see a big splash unless perhaps someone steps up and says, "Oh, we want to trade for Trey Lance," but I don't see that.
I don't even know what his value is.
I don't know what. Yeah, it's a great point.
Yeah,
a great point. Because I don't. That's why I don't think it'll happen. But unless someone would do that, but why would you? I mean, he's. I mean, let's remember, the 49ers did that deal, and drafted the quarterback that turned out to be Trey Lance, and maybe they would have been better off if some people thought they were going to take Mac Jones.
Yeah.
But bottom line is, though, they made that deal because they couldn't count on Jimmy Garoppolo staying healthy.
And they didn't have Brock Purdy then, right?
And they didn't have Purdy, but
right. Yeah.
And now you have Trey Lance, who's had injuries in two straight seasons,
sure,
when he's got an opportunity to play. So they're wondering now, hey, is he going to be a guy that you can't count on to be available? And some would say, well, what about Purdy? He got hurt. Well, that was a fluke. I mean, that was in terms of the
elbow, the way the play happened.
If he all of a sudden the next couple of years he starts having more injuries, well, then you start
to wonder.
You start wondering and questioning. But they're just so well-run an organization right now that they – I mean, and, you know, people forget, Greg, back after seven games – the 49ers and the Cardinals were 3-4.
Yeah.
And the 49ers then won, 11 straight games, I think? Or is it 10 straight?
I believe it was 11 going into the NFC Championship.
Right. So 10 regular season games, right? And the Cardinals won one more game the entire season. And so that's... You know, that's what separates teams in this league, especially when you get on a roll one way or you get on a snowball rolling down a hill the other way and you can't stop it.
So we mentioned Trey Lance and kind of the future in San Francisco at the position, but it does seem like, and we'll address a certain veteran in Green Bay in due time, but it does seem like league-wide we're in for another pretty chaotic offseason at the quarterback position.
Yeah, I think we really could, and last year was one. No doubt, and you've got – I'm trying to name them. We'll probably forget some of them. But, yeah, you've got Aaron Rodgers. What's going to happen with him?
Yeah.
You've got Jimmy Garoppolo. You've got Derek Carr. You've got Baker Mayfield. Those are just a few. So, yeah, it's going to be a volatile offseason.
We're back on the other side. Radio Row, Phoenix Convention Center, Sports Map Radio.
This is First Name Sports on the Sports Map Radio Network. Live from Radio Row in Arizona, ahead of the big game, here's Greg Frank and Howard Balzer.
On we roll here from Radio Row at the Phoenix Convention Center. Our coverage this week is brought to you by Rufus Teague. All barbecue sauces are crafted of only natural ingredients over at Rufus, never made with any of that high fructose corn syrup junk. Now the best in barbecue sauce, dry rubs, snacks, and even smoke roasted coffee can all be found on Amazon or at RufusTeague.com. Rufus always said, good sauce makes bad barbecue good and good barbecue gooder. Also want to shout out our guest sponsor for the week, as all the guest coverage is brought to you by Progressive. Progressive Insurance. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save nearly $700 on average. Call or click today and find out if we could save you hundreds on your car insurance. As we continue from the Phoenix Convention Center, he's Howard Balzer. I am Greg Frank. And Howard, we talked a little bit about it before we went to the timeout there. Certainly looks like we're going to see plenty of more movement on the quarterback front, certainly in the draft with, you know, teams at the top. Houston, Indianapolis, Carolina, Las Vegas, all selecting in the top 10 that could be looking at quarterbacks. But while I think it's a tiresome topic in our industry, the whereabouts of one Aaron Rodgers. Right now, I don't know that anybody knows because we hear today he's going to go on a four-night isolation period.
In total darkness.
So, yeah, we'll see how that goes.
And he's going to come out of that figuring out what he's going to do next. So we'll see how that one plays out.
Yeah,
but, yeah, he has a way of getting people talking about him, doesn't he?
Yeah, oh, for sure.
I mean, yesterday we read that he's taking part in an astrological seminar.
Yeah.
Now he's going into isolation as Marshall Newhouse is down. I don't know who we're talking about. It's Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, okay.
Yesterday he was talking about an astrological seminar he's involved
in. He's going to do, they call it a sensory deprivation retreat.
Yes.
Where you have nothing but darkness and you try not to go crazy and you find out some about yourself, and I personally hope he comes out
and
finds some stuff out about himself.
Yeah, somebody that knows the guy. Like, what do you think about all this? I mean, we hear about the ayahuasca stuff last year, and just a bit of a different cat, let's say.
Like, for sure.
You know.
I think he's just on a journey right now. You know, I give him the benefit of the doubt because everyone at different times of their lives, they hit a peak, a point where they're like, all right, you know, they're asking internally, like, who am I? What am I about truly? And his happens to be at the end of a Hall of Fame career. But I applaud him for just trying to find out a little bit more about himself. Now, we honestly know more than we should. You know, he's put it out there himself.
Yeah.
But we know more than we should because there's plenty of people who do stuff like this, whether it's ayahuasca or whether it's therapy. And he's trying to find his own way. So I give him credit for doing it. He's made himself available publicly about it a little bit and up for scrutiny, which is his prerogative. But, you know, we come from it from a sports background. Like, how does this affect the Packers?
Yeah.
And he's thinking about it holistically. Like, how is this going to affect me? And then I am the Packers quarterback. So, you know.
Yeah.
Your career, and Greg and I have talked the last couple of days as we've talked about this game and how outstanding and healthy both the Chiefs and the Eagles offensive lines have been this year.
Yeah.
What was your journey like with going, you know, having opportunities started sometimes, sometimes not, but going from team to team and new coaches, new offensive line coaches?
Yeah.
That must have been a pretty, I don't know, how would you describe
it? It was challenging. It was, you know, ultimately rewarding, but challenging because you go from different, people don't realize this, you go to a new team, there's a new team, new city, all that stuff. I'm moving, all that stuff. There's new staff.
Right.
There's new people you got to get used to. I got to learn new names. New equipment managers, hey, help me get my stuff fitting right. New coaches, you know, what is your coaching style? What do you like? What do you don't like? Specifically, O-line coaches. Do you have a way that you want guys to play technique-wise? I mean, Hall of Fame coaches like Paul Alexander, he had a specific way he coached linemen. That preceding that, my 4 years with James Campen, very different. So you're always playing this balance of – you know, do I acquiesce and change so much of my technique to make him happy? Or do I just try to get the block done on Sunday?
Yeah.
And there's a balance there where you're like, I've literally had coaches who I would make a block that's a plus. It helped the play. It was a good block. And then they ding you because it wasn't done right. And it's just a constant. You're like, oh, man, like, what do you want me to do here? Would you rather me miss the block? And because it looks like you want to look. So it was challenging, and it's egos too, personalities. You're like, I'm a team guy. I love offensive line groups. It's one of the coolest rooms on the team. So many different personalities. You know, how do you mesh with the rest of the guys?
Yeah, Marshall. you know, I'm going to get your perspective on the week that is Super Bowl week, and I see you got your ring on as a rookie with the Packers. You come in, fifth-round pick, and, you know, offensive line, usually one of those positions where I always think it's smart to continue to reinvest and kind of look for that next wave and third day of the draft, maybe take players who are more developmental and might not play right away. Tell us about coming to the Packers as a rookie, fifth-round pick, and going from that to becoming a Super Bowl champion in less than a year.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Packers at that time had Chad Clifton at left tackle, Mark Tauscher at right tackle.
Sure.
They had just drafted another guy named Alan Barber. And then my draft class had Brian Bulaga first round. I was the compensatory pick in the fifth round. So I'm sitting there and I'm like, this is a loaded room, a veteran-laden room. You know, how am I going to stick out? From little what I knew about kind of the dynamics of, you know, making the roster and all that stuff, fifth round, you know, has zero guarantees. You know, it's like, all right, I'm going to have to show them something. So a lot of my strengths are my foot quickness, my smarts. So I'm like, how do I use that as often as possible to show them my value? And so that led to be, you know, becoming a guy that they could see as versatile. So I could play right and left tackle. And then eventually I learned how to play guard, and I even snapped a little bit. So I was like, let me add value as much as I can to try to break into this room, and then let me be a good teammate.
Yeah.
Because at that, you know, that year, that first year, as a rookie, everything's flying fast. You're figuring stuff out.
Just listening to you tell that, I chuckle because it sounds a lot very similar to some of the stuff in our industry where I like to sell myself as, well, I don't just want to host, but I want to be able to run the audio board and be a producer or be able to write and, you know, be able to kind of show your worth in many ways.
Yeah.
That'll help you. And obviously being a later round pick, that can go a long way.
Yeah, that, you know, you're trying to get your foot in the door and stay there.
Exactly.
And ultimately they thought I was worthy of staying, and I earned my keep, you know. That Super Bowl run, I wasn't playing. I wasn't suiting up. But
right.
Chad Clifton was an older lineman, so I was taking first-team reps all season for him and for Mark Tauscher. And so I was getting my experience, and yeah. I was helping the team. I was giving them a look. And to me, yeah. that's a great role in that team. And
yeah.
that led to me the next year in camp being ready when some injuries happened. I got my chance to start at right tackle and left tackle.
Mm-hmm.
And then led me to starting the whole year in 2012 at left tackle.
Yeah.
And then on and on in my future career of, you know, finding places where they want you to be a swing, but I'm ready because I've played and started
yeah.
almost – I started 100 games in my career. And so I got starting opportunities in other places because I've shown that I could do it. I could help the team win, and that started from my rookie year, learning how to be valuable.
Go ahead, Howard.
You mentioned the smarts, and we talked about new coaches, but then there's also a lot of times that – a new language, and I've heard some people say, well, it's like learning, you know, when you know English, it's
yeah.
like learning French. And I've always said, well, it's different than that, because if you learn French, you don't have to forget English.
Well,
when you have to learn a new language, well, in football, it's, don't it's, you have to kind of forget the last
it's,
one, right?
It's learning a new system, new language, kind of you're trying to apply principles that
right.
help you learn it faster, but you're also trying to forget stuff that you had.
Yeah.
But also, people can learn stuff pretty quickly, but can you then do it under pressure,
mm-hmm.
physically with your body? So my prime example is 2019. I start camp with New Orleans. But I get hurt, injury settled. I'm a free agent, so I sign with New England. I sign week 3 or week 4 on a Wednesday morning at like 6 a.m. I'm starting at right tackle on Sunday
for my goodness.
Patriots. In between then and there, there's 120, 150 code words. Then there's the game plan. So they parsed it down. I didn't learn the whole offense, but most of it. And I have to learn that in 4 days.
Yeah.
Isaiah Wynn gets hurt. In the middle of the game, I flipped from right tackle to left tackle in the middle of the game. This is at Miami. So people were like, yeah, you know, they can critique my play. You know, I had an okay game given the circumstances, but the things that were going through my brain the night before, I remember the night before, Johnson Daniels gives me, you know, I call it the Waffle House menu. He gives me the laminated play sheet. He's like, here, here's a copy of this. Study it. So I studied it all night, and I was ready. I was ready enough, and that whole year was just me slowly
right.
learning the offense, which is one of the most complex in the league,
right.
like that.
Yeah.
And so people understand that that part of all this is just like there are very few dumb football players. Maybe a couple guys can get away with it, but it's a different level of intuition and, mm-hmm. and intelligence, but it's there.
I'm going to go back to your college career because I know you're from the Dallas area, TCU.
Yeah.
You got to play for Gary Patterson. Mm-hmm. I guess Andy Dalton probably would have
yeah.
overlapped with you. And then just watching that magical season for TCU unfold this year, obviously one game short of the ultimate prize, but it must have been felt like a proud Horned Frog this year, right?
Yeah, I would have been proud regardless, being an alumni and playing and helping build that program. But, I've been getting myself in the sports media. I was doing a pregame show for the team this year. So I was there for every home game. I met Sonny Dykes and the new staff, and
yeah.
I talked to a lot of the players, and it was just incredible. I felt closer than I normally would have been.
That's great.
And just watched them ascend, so it was great.
We do got to let you go, though. Sure. Marshall Newhouse, the former NFL offensive lineman. Appreciate your time.
Thank
Enjoy
you
the rest of Radio Row.
Take care.
We're back on the other side to wrap things up. Phoenix Convention Center, SportsMap Radio.
Back with First Name Sports on the Sports Map Radio Network. Live from Radio Row in Arizona, ahead of the big game, here's Greg Frank and Howard Balzer.
All right, we are back here from the Phoenix Convention Center, Radio Row, day two. Getting ready for the big game, Philadelphia Eagles, Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday evening here in Arizona. Our coverage this week is brought to you by Rufus Teague. The big game calls for the best snacks. Now you can get the award-winning barbecue flavors that made Rufus Teague famous in their new line of barbecue nuts, crunching corns, and sunflower seeds, or as they call them, spitting seeds. Get yours at RufusTeague.com. Kansas City's most award-winning barbecue sauce now, more than ever, proud to be from Kansas City. Again, a message from your friends at Rufus Teague. And, of course, our guest coverage this week is brought to you by Progressive. At Progressive, we're making things even easier. We'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at Progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. progressive. Howard, it's funny we were talking on the break there, but about how fast these two-hour shows go. And, you know, fortunately today we got off on the wrong foot. We were supposed to tape with LeGarrette Blount, and we didn't quite get him. But everybody else showed,
yep.
And, you know, here we are 10 minutes to go.
Yeah, and, you know, sometimes you don't know what it's going to be like when you get a guy like Marshall Newhouse, who you know of, and you know that he had the career, and he had a bunch of teams, and you don't know how they're going to be on the air. And he was pretty darn good. I would have liked to talk to him a little more.
I was going to say, as an offensive line guy, I'm sure you liked it. Yeah. I mean, even as a football guy, the things he's telling you about, you know, with New England, injury, boom, you're just signed.
4 days later.
Starting 4 days later. McDaniels is giving you the playbook in the middle of the week, and you just got to study up. And I'm sure there's stories like that all across the league at all kinds of positions. But the speed with which some of these veterans, which is the position he was in, usually you get these guys that are at the end of their career, maybe they don't want to hang it up just yet, or if they find themselves on a contender, they might have a chance to make one last run at a Super Bowl. And, you know, those are the kinds of guys. Like, I think of Jason Peters with the Dallas Cowboys this year, you know,
yeah.
Where it's just like, hey, we need you.
We need
somebody. You're one phone call away. You got a chance to, you know, maybe go to the Hall of Fame one day, or you've had a great career. We think you could still help us. Can you play? And things like that can happen pretty fast.
Yeah, I think that happened with Peters a couple years ago with the Eagles.
Sure.
When it was pretty much done, and then they had some injuries, and they said, hey, we need you. And then he comes in, he's playing guard, I think, for a little bit. So, yeah, those are the things. We ran out of time because I wanted – I mean, he played up through 2020, and then I'm pretty sure he was with the Titans in 2020 and became a unrestricted free agent in 2021 in March, and all of a sudden – that was it. And you always wonder about those guys who have played in the league a certain amount of time. They become free agents, and they're wondering, okay, who's going to call next? And all of a sudden, nobody calls.
Nobody calls.
And now you have that realization that, oh, I guess it's time for your life's work.
Yeah.
And, you know, Chuck Knoll used to call it that with when he was the head coach of the Steelers. And it was time for a guy to move on. He wasn't what he used to be. We have to get somebody younger to replace you. And he said, it's now time for you to get on to your life's work. And that can be a big adjustment, obviously, for players when they've played a game since they were sometimes, you know, 5, 6, 7 years old.
That's all they know.
And then they're over 30. And you're still young by most standards.
Yeah.
But getting old by NFL standards. And now it's time, oh, my goodness, I got to find out what am I going to do next.
Yeah.
It sounds like he's got a career in the media.
Yeah, he could talk.
Because he's taking, all these great players, you know, sometimes they don't want to deal with us when they're playing. But then when they're done, they can't wait to get into the business.
I'm glad you said that, because that's one of the things that I, in my brief tenure now on Radio Row, my second time on a Radio Row, that I've noticed is all the players that are coming through here are not playing Sunday. And so usually you get, I at least think, if they're here, they want to talk.
Right.
And they want to say some things. And, you know, you think about players that are either, you know, active players not playing currently in the Super Bowl or now retired players. You think back to when they were playing, and some of them maybe not as media friendly, maybe just want to focus on the task at hand and the game that week and don't want to do all the media obligations, but you don't have a game that you're thinking about on Sunday, so why not kick it back and just come hang with the radio guys? And I feel like, and you could definitely speak to this better, but I feel like that's most of the vibe you get. I don't think you get a lot of people that are kind of really being low class here, right?
Oh, no, yeah. not at all.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are always good to talk with. I still have the memory last year. I think we talked with it was the running back, the rookie running back with the Jets. Was
Michael Carter.
Michael Carter, yeah.
And
after that interview, you're saying, man, he's really good.
Put together, right.
He's really good and speaking and knows his stuff, communicates well. And I think, you know, a lot of guys get that part of it and also have to see all the former athletes that get jobs, whether it's on radio, whether it's on TV as analysts, whatever it might be. And they say, hey, that's – you know, that could be a pretty good thing to aspire to once those playing days are over.
Yeah. So certainly looking forward to the rest of the guests for the rest of the week. And one of the things that I would have loved to get to more with Marshall was just what the week is like for the players, because, you know, yeah, last night at opening night, you got to see, and gosh, with what that's turned into, and you talked about it, how we talked a little bit about it yesterday, how it used to just be for media, and it was the Tuesday during the day, and now, yeah, media there, but you also have all the lower bowl of the Footprint Center
right.
packed with fans, and it's become a spectacle, and you want everybody to have fun there, including those that are in the game. And, you know, Tuesday, usually in a normal game prep week, is kind of the down day, you know, a free day, family, friends, things like that. And probably tomorrow is when we really start to get into ramping things up
right.
for practices and getting ready for Sunday, right?
Yeah, no, exactly. And I know that I don't know what the Eagles did, but I know the Chiefs were on the field a little bit the last 2 days, but they'll get into the normal procedure of the week because, you know, players and NFL teams, they're victims, not victims, but there's a pattern of it
yeah.
that they know what it's like.
Can that be an advantage for Kansas City here, having played in this game and gone through the week, or is that mostly secondary?
It can be. You know, it can be because you know how the week is going to go. You've been through the media stuff, which it's not that much, but we do know that a lot of times during the week when the media, and this was the first year after the pandemic, since the pandemic, that the locker rooms were open. But you also know that when you go into the locker room for the 45 minutes a day, that a lot of the guys aren't in there.
Yeah.
Right? Now you're at your hotel and you have to be there for the hour, and every player has to be there, and a lot of people are in there. So it's a different feel. And the other part of it, Greg, is where the week is different, is you're taken out of your hometown. Now
sure.
you're living out of that hotel the whole week.
Yeah.
As opposed to during the regular season, you travel the day before the game.
Different.
You know, sometimes
right.
if it's a longer trip, you might travel on Friday.
That's right. Yeah.
But essentially, it's the same schedule. Now, all of a sudden, and you have to deal with family and where are they going to be and take care of their hotel
yeah, yeah.
And ticket requests
yeah.
and all those things. So, yeah, it is different.
You know, it's funny you bring some of that up, too, because while I feel like most of the time we think of agents as the people that handle contract negotiations and trade requests for players busy in the off season, I'm sure this stuff is where you want a good agent to be able to say, hey, listen, I got a game to prepare for. If I get ticket requests, if my family's saying stuff, and, you know, obviously immediate family talking to players anyway, but you want to be able to have an agent to kind of block out some of the noise and make it a normal week for you as close to possible if you're a player, right?
Yeah, they can help. A lot of times it's, you know, if a guy's married, it's his wife.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes
right,
it's just
yeah.
a family member who yeah. handles a lot of that stuff, so they can be in constant communication. But, yeah, you definitely don't want to be handling it all yourself, but it's still in your mind, is everything being taken care of? And so I think at some point during this week, you get to Wednesday, Thursday, and you go, man, is this game ever going to get here?
Right, because right? you've already had a week off.
Right, and then even the game is different in terms of the warm-up. And then when you finally get on the field,
35 minutes.
It's a lot longer until the game starts. Yeah. And then, yes, a longer halftime is totally different that everybody has gotten accustomed to. So, but it's still a game. And that's what you know, what the coaches try to, you know, just have in your head. As soon as that ball kicks off, it's still a football game.
Yeah.
And you just got to go out there and, as we said, do your job. And then you've got a good, as good a chance as the other team of winning.
One of the things that, you know, I would love to ask, to have asked Nick about, but with Nick Lowry earlier in the show, the former Chiefs kicker, didn't have time to get to it. It was just the, you know, and we mentioned the long halftime. I think back to an iconic moment in Super Bowl history, and you know, talking about special teams, and a coach that just got hired by the Denver Broncos, Sean Payton, calling the surprise onside
yeah.
kick against Indianapolis to start the second half. And, you know, certainly Tracy Porter sealed the game with an interception for New Orleans in that one. But one of the iconic moments in that game took place on, you know, long halftime.
Yeah.
You come back, and boom, surprise on kick, and you steal a possession.
Yeah, exactly. And so you don't see that very often. But we know Sean Payton was a guy who would take chances. We see a lot of the younger coaches now that we see how often they go for fourth down, you know, go for it on fourth down.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Nick Sirianni is certainly one of those guys. And so, you know, a lot of things evolve. And,
yeah.
But, yeah, that long halftime can be, oh, my goodness, when is yeah. this going to be over?
Well, Howard, I feel like for a baseball analogy, our batting practice is done, and we're ready to get the game going tomorrow. Two down,
yep.
three to go.
Yep, ready for the whatever inning it is or whatever quarter it is.
All right, Howard, thank you. He's Howard Balzer. I'm Greg Frank. Thanks to John Bellmer, our producer in the studio, and Ron Culver, our on-site engineer. Radio Row, Sports Talk Radio. Talk to you tomorrow.